Good morning. I'm Marty Derlin, and this is the KVNF News for Tuesday, June 25th, 2013. Sentencing took place yesterday for a Paonia resident charged with the theft of nearly $400,000 from the town of Paonia. KVNF has more on the story. Financial officer Kristen Chesnick pled guilty to the theft of $393,000 from the public coffers. On Monday, she was sentenced by 7th Judicial Court Judge Charles Greenacre to 4 years in prison, followed by a mandatory 5 years of parole. The judge could not have given her more than 5 years in prison because of the parameters of the plea bargain. Chesnick was led away by law enforcement after the sentencing hearing, which lasted less than an hour. About a dozen family members and friends were in attendance, and many wept. Paonia Mayor Neil Schwederman, along with town trustees Eric Gould and Larry Wisbeck, also attended the proceedings. Schwederman testified that before the theft was discovered, the town's small staff of 14, from trash haulers to the town clerk, were, quote, a family. He also said the town's trustees at the time and he, as mayor, had, quote, failed the public. Chesnick, who had no training in bookkeeping or financial management, was able to disguise the theft from the town's financial committee until late 2011, when it was finally discovered by an outside auditor. Wisbeck, who now sits on Paonia's financial committee, said such a theft could not happen again.
It was a wake-up call, and ever since, and we have put the necessary steps in place to make sure that it never happens again. Unfortunately, I don't see that the former level of trust and is ever going to be restored.
Schwederman said he thought the sentence was fair.
I think it balances the needs of the community as well as the needs particular to this case. And so I think he did a very, very thoughtful and fair decision.
Judge Greenacre also focused on the need for a deterrent when he handed down the sentence. He said full restitution in this case is unlikely given the amount, the largest he's seen in 30 or 40 years in the district. In enumerating aggravating circumstances, he cited the length of time, over 4 years, that the theft took place, the measures taken to cover it up, the fact that Chesnick apparently stole for personal gain, the escalation of the crime, and the betrayal of trust. The town may be reimbursed for up to $150,000, the amount of insurance Paonia carried. Schwederman said he had understood they were insured for $1 million, but Chesnick was the one who bought the insurance. When she testified on her own behalf, Chesnick apologized to the citizens of Paonia and said she felt deep sorrow and guilt. She said she didn't know why she had taken the money, nor did she say what she'd spent it on. She thanked her friends and family, whom she said had been exposed to, quote, meanness and scorn. And she said despite her huge mistakes, she is a good person. No one disagreed with attorney David Eisner when he summed up the sad occasion.
It's just all the way around. It's a tragic situation for everybody involved.
The Denver Post reports that opponents of State Senator Angela Guiron have amassed more than 16,000 signatures to recall the Pueblo lawmaker, 1,000 more than needed for a recall election. Organizers with Pueblo Freedom and Rights submitted their recall petition to the Colorado Secretary of State's office yesterday, making Guiron the second Democrat in less than a week to face a recall election. The recall effort stems from Guiron's votes supporting tougher gun laws, some of which call for universal background checks on all sales and would limit ammunition magazines of more than 15 rounds. According to the Post, Guiron's Senate district is heavily Democratic, with nearly twice as many registered Democrats as Republicans. Despite the recall effort, Guyron remains firm in her support of what she calls common sense gun laws. The body of missing Grand Junction man Matthew Busker was found around noon on Sunday. According to the San Miguel County Sheriff's Office, a Montrose area resident discovered the body nearly 200 feet down a mine shaft in the Black Bear Basin east of Telluride. The man who reported the find to San Miguel authorities had traveled to the area after viewing a website created to assist in the search efforts. The cause of death appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The 33-year-old Busker was reported missing on June 15th. His car was discovered in the upper reaches of Black Bear Basin on the 16th. San Miguel County authorities say no foul play is expected in the case. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Garfield County commissioners voted last week to support a no-action alternative to the Grand Junction BLM field office's resource management plan, essentially telling the office to halt revisions of the plan. County commissioners said alternatives being considered by the local BLM would have a, quote, measurable socioeconomic impact on Garfield County. The commissioners are also concerned that the area BLM's available alternative plans would limit access to large portions of public lands. The Sentinel reports the county is also concerned that any new plan could restrict livestock grazing as well as oil, gas, and coal development. The commissioner's proposed no-action plan also calls for the preservation of rights to develop existing oil and gas leases under current rules. And finally, in Delta County last week, environmentalists and county stakeholders headed to the nation's capital to voice their opposition to potential oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley. KVNF's Travis Bubenik has more.
A group of North Fork area residents traveled to Washington, D.C. last week to meet with the Bureau of Land Management's National Office and Colorado Senators Bennett and Udall. It was the third in a series of trips to Washington led by area environmental groups aimed at building support for the North Fork Alternative Plan, a guidebook of sorts for how some locals believe oil and gas development should play out in the North Fork Valley. Namely, it's a response to a proposed sale from earlier this year, which before it was postponed, would have opened BLM lands around the North Fork to oil and gas leasing.
What do you like the most about living in the North Fork Valley?
It's not a city.
So it's not too many people.
Jeff Schwartz is the man behind Delicious Orchards and Big B's Fabulous Juices in Paonia. Seated with his daughter in his lap, Schwartz says he doesn't see himself as an activist per se, but foremost a family man. As part of the D.C. delegation, he says he was focused on representing the area's organic farmers and protecting the lifestyle he's chosen for himself and his family.
We feel strongly that energy development needs to take place in a sane and sensible manner, and you know, energy development cannot happen in spite of everything else.
Schwartz is no stranger to energy needs, but says he still isn't comfortable with the idea of bringing more industry to the region.
None of us are saying we want this super clean, pristine, organic heaven. We're burning a lot of diesel on these farms, but the oil and gas extraction at this point and the new technologies, they haven't proven safe.
That uncertainty surrounding safety, specifically with regards to fracking, was a big part of the group's message to Washington.
There is no more valuable resource than water.
Ralph D'Alessandro is an elected member of the Delta County Conservation District and on the board for the Paonia-based Conservation Center. His message to Washington focused on oil and gas development's potential impact on water supplies.
Without water, we don't have food, we don't have plants, we don't have people. This area is a desert. That needs to be balanced against mineral extraction. Who has looked at the impact of the use of that much water for that resource when water is the most precious resource we have?
I would like to see this country remain as pristine as possible, but I don't think that we should say, don't frack the North Fork.
That's Virgil Franks, a retired Paonia resident with long ties to the region.
I think we're obligated to produce our part of the energy.
Virgil grew up farming with his father in eastern Colorado, but moved back to the North Fork region to work on the reservoir at Grand Mesa and later the Fire Mountain Canal. As an earth and life sciences teacher in the Boulder public school system for 23 years, he developed a keen appreciation for the environment. He says exploring the valley's resources has to be done with the utmost care, but that if oil and gas are there, people should be willing to use it.
We are using these natural resources, and consequently, we have a responsibility to the rest of the country, too. We can't just say...
Virgil also feels that much of the debate surrounding energy development from both sides is relatively uninformed.
I think most people, like myself, are wandering around with a tremendous load of ignorance on our backs, and yet we do make decisions that have far-reaching consequences based on opinions that are not really solidly based in science. To completely put this area off-limits to production of energy, to me, is an unfair thing to do.
So we're getting ready for hay to come in.
Ogie McGuire heads up Desert Weir Farms. Perched atop Garvin Mesa at about 6,200 feet, her solar-powered farm is home to North America's second-largest flock of purebred Black Welsh mountain sheep. That flock is currently 3% of the breed's population worldwide, and Ogie's concerns about oil and gas coming to the region are close to home, literally. Her property is surrounded by BLM lands that would have been included in the February 2013 sale. Leases that, though postponed, haven't entirely disappeared.
For us, it doesn't matter whether the process of fracking is safe. Our business will be totally destroyed just from the development and drilling activity.
She says that oil and gas companies usually aren't required to report spills for up to 24 hours after one occurs.
In 24 hours, a spill back behind us will have completely covered our Garvin Mesa through our ditch systems. So the land will be poisoned. You cannot mitigate against that. Any of that sort of drilling and development will destroy our business. So we are fighting for our livelihood and for the lives of this breed of sheep. There has to be places that you say, no, not here, not ever.
The North Fork delegation as a whole said the response they got from both the BLM National Office and from Senators Bennett and Udall was generally supportive. Ms. McGuire, however, isn't so optimistic about the prospects of cooperation with the BLM.
I don't think that the area office in Denver is going to do anything unless they are directed to and instructed to by the Secretary of Interior. They're going to just ignore it completely, as they've always done.
The revised resource management plan from the BLM's Uncompahgre Field Office, which would cover the North Fork Valley, is due out sometime this fall and will be accompanied by a 90-day public comment period before the plan is set in stone. In the meantime, the North Fork alternative is sure to be a source of contentious debate here in the valley. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.
And I'm Marty Gerlin. Thanks for listening to the KVNF Morning News.